Joe Biden's White House Commission on the Supreme Court has realized there might come some risk with packing the Supreme Court. The Parkland shooter prepares to plead guilty on all 17 murders. And you know the pandemic is over because Conrad is back in the control room. Seriously, what's that all about? It is 12 noon. Straight up, I'm Richard Dixon. This is Talk 99.5, talk995.com. And a beautiful, beautiful day. It is partly cloudy skies, temps in the high 70s, heading up into the 80s by this afternoon. And then a cold front moves in this evening. Potential rain, maybe, depending on where you are. And then a relatively cooler weekend. Be kind of nice to have a cooler weekend, wouldn't it? This has been a bit crazy and a bit out of sync with the regular October in the great state of Alabama, but that's all right. If this is global climate change, I'll take more of it. When the cold weather does come in, you know what happens. The bugs want to get inside. Mr. Bugs can stop that from happening. They have all the techniques. They have all the good stuff. You know, the sprays, the chemicals, the right stuff. It's safe around kids, safe around pets. And they will show up and they will apply these things in just the right places to make sure that the bugs on the inside are dead and the bugs on the outside don't become the bugs on the inside. You know what I'm saying? They're very good at what they do. I have them come once every 3 months. Used to be once a month. They talked me into downgrading. Cost less to have them come once every 3 months. And if, you know, of course, they show up and they treat and then within that 3 months you see bugs, you call them back and go, hey, you didn't get them all, and they come back. Rarely happens, though. Hasn't happened to me yet, but it rarely happens. Rodents as well, that's another big thing that happens during some of these fall and winter months. The rodents want desperately to get inside, so they'll take care of that as well. Plus, termite bonds, mosquito reduction, Mr. Bugs, MRBUGGS.com, MrBugs2Gs.com. They're statewide, so you can call them 844-MRBUGGS or locally at 900-3433. Am I reading this right? Joe Biden is going to speak again, as he is trying desperately to get his infrastructure and reconciliation plan passed. Okay. This is a really bad sign. He has to keep coming out and either explaining what's going on or pleading with the American people to trust him to do what he wants to do. You know, this is not something that you saw under Donald Trump. Barack Obama didn't do it almost ever, really. I think the one time you ever saw him come out and plead with the American people was after a school shooting, and he was, I think it was the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, and he got all bent out of shape about how gun control didn't pass through the Senate. This is pretty much the situation. If you had an employee, and let's be clear, Joe Biden is our employee, all right? That's the way the Constitution is set up. We, the people, hired him. We gave him a 4-year contract with a possible 4-year extension, all right? That's how this works. So we have this employee, and stuff starts going wrong. Think of America as your business. You own this business. You are as much an owner as anybody else here that's actually a bona fide citizen or legal resident, all right? So you are a shareholder in this great company that we call the United States of America, and we hired this guy, and every day he has to come back, and you're saying, well, okay, the shelves are bare over here, JP. Well, what's going on? Usually there's bread here, there's stuff here, there's things we need, there's meat. This stuff is, this over here, the few things that you have are crazy expensive. Why? What's going on? And your employee says, well, you know, let me explain. I can explain. Here's what's happening with that, and here's why that's going. Okay, all right. You know. I couldn't help but notice, JB, it's another day now. JB, get over here. Come here. There's a whole bunch of people. They're still sick. We had this sickness thing. Remember when we were talking about hiring you, and you said, I've got the solution. I'll fix this. We were all excited about it. The rest of the board members, we all chatted about it. Said, I think this is the right guy for the job. I think he says he's going to fix this. Well, you've been on the job for a while. More people have died this year, and it's this year's not even over, than died last year. And you're not making it better. We've had more cases. We've had more hospitalizations. It's not only not better, it's worse. Why is that? Well, see, what had happened was, and again, he starts in with, well, you know, there was a different strain that came in, and we're having trouble, you know, persuading people to get vaccinated. We're trying, but it's not really happening to the degree that we'd like to see. But, you know, we're going to put the deadwood to them. We're pushing them. We're threatening their jobs. Threatening their jobs? Speaking of which, JB, couldn't help but notice 10.5 million open jobs right now. Seems like a bunch of people should be, you know, filling those jobs, yet they don't seem to be filling those jobs. What's the story with that? Well, see, here's the deal with that. If you had an employee who every single day had to give you another excuse about why things weren't going the way they were supposed to, at what point would you look at that employee and say, I'm sorry, you have to go. You're doing a really terrible job. We expected so much better from you, and we're not getting it. You're bad at this. Fine, you fooled us. You sold us on the fact that you were better than the last guy who was in this job. Right now, we're really wishing we'd given him the 4-year extension. Instead, we threw him over. We brought you in, and every single day, it's some new excuse. It's some new reason why things aren't going well. Well, here's why. We left a whole bunch of people in Afghanistan. Sorry about that. And then you tried to cover it up. You still won't tell us how many people are there, how many American citizens and how many legal residents of the United States of America are in Afghanistan. You still won't talk about that. You refuse to give us a number on that. You can't really give us an explanation as to what happened with the docs. All you keep saying is, well, this was inevitable. It was going to happen under any circumstance. Well, Afghanistan, of course that was going to degrade into a mess. There was no way that wasn't going to degrade into a mess. Really? We've got a bunch of generals over here that are saying you just did it wrong. No, that's not right. All the generals agreed with me. Well, we've talked to a couple of the generals, and neither one of them agreed with you. They both said you should have left people there. And that you pulled out incorrectly and that you didn't listen to their advice. I don't know what they're talking about. That's crazy talk. Shelves are bare, supply chain problems. Bunch of cargo ships off the coast of California just sitting there cooling their heels. Not enough truck drivers to handle all of this. And we get a guy who every day has to come out and make excuses for why things aren't going well. And that's all he does is make excuses. You know, he has pathetic plans. Oh, here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep the docks open at night. Okay, that's a great idea. How did we get into this situation? We didn't get into this situation because the docks weren't open at night. The docks have never been open at night. The docks have never been open on the weekends. That's not how we got into this situation. How did we get into this situation? What's different now than last year at this time, or the year before at this time? Why suddenly do we have this huge backlog? By the way, we'd like to talk to you about what's happening at the southern border, too. See, here's what's going on there. Again, with the excuses. If you had an employee who every single day had to make another excuse for why things in your business weren't going the way they were supposed to, you'd fire that guy. Sorry, I came so close. That was 38 years of experience kicking in right in the middle of a word there, comrade.
Well, you can say that one.
38. No, I was going for the whole compound word
there.
Oh, yeah, you
can't do that one.
I stopped myself right before I got to that.
You can say cornhole. That's close enough, right?
Thanks for that.
Something.
You'd fire that idiot is what I'm trying to say. You would fire that idiot. You would dump him. And today we're going to have him come forward and whine and cry about how he can't get his $3.5 trillion package passed, and he can't get his $1.5 trillion. No, we're not going to carry it here. Because what we've found is that every single time we put Joe Biden on this radio station, unless it's absolutely necessary, it's a matter of, you know, national importance, anytime we put him on, people just tune out. They go elsewhere. They turn their radios off if possible. Because he's such a ridiculous turnoff. Because all he does is whine. All he does is make excuses. And it's sad. It's just sad. This guy hasn't been in office for a whole year. His numbers have tumbled to a ridiculous degree. And there were some of us who warned you. There were some of us who said, this is what's going to happen if this guy... And yes, a case can be made that, well, maybe he didn't get the job fair and square. But that ship has sailed. We're in this position now. And we're stuck with a guy who seems to think that if he just talks to you a little bit more, you'll fall in love with the $3.5 trillion spending package that you have repeatedly stated. You, the board of directors of the United States of America Corporation, you have stated repeatedly, you don't want that. The $1.5 trillion infrastructure package, slightly more attractive, and yet still a majority of the board does not want that. And he's convinced that if he just comes out and talks some more, he can persuade you. It's not going to happen. Look, I got to be honest. I don't know how this, I don't know what the end game is for this. I really don't. We got a guy holding down the CEO job who is a blithering idiot, most likely being controlled by other forces, is incapable of doing the job to the degree that it needs to be done. And again, if he's being controlled by other forces, it's safe to say those other forces are incapable of doing the job the way it needs to be done. And his second in command, the person who is lined up to take over should he be unable to continue, is maybe the biggest clown of them all. This is where we are. Now, you can get depressed about this, and you can be upset about this, and you can let it stew and eat away at your insides, if you like, but I'm just not that kind of guy. I asked Damian Mitchell in the hallway, I said, you got a big weekend planned? He said, yeah, I'm going to watch a lot of football. I said, that's a great weekend.
That's what we do.
That's what you need to do. Because, look, we're America. We always bounce back, and we're going to bounce back. Is it going to happen in the next, oh, I don't know, 3 years and 2 months? No, most likely not. Not as long as this idiot is sitting in the Oval Office. But in 2022, you're given the opportunity to fill up Congress and the Senate with Republicans who can then paralyze the Biden administration and make sure that they can't really do anything. And then in 2024, you get a chance to, you know, fix the mistake that was made in 2020 when this idiot got hired. In the meantime, cool your heels. Don't lose your mind over this stuff. Don't get depressed over this stuff. Because in the long run, aside from prices at the grocery store, which have gone insane, your day-to-day life doesn't have to revolve around who is in the White House. It has to revolve around what you and I both know is the most important thing. Alabama football. Back in a moment. Stick around. Conrad's back in town. That's right. He's back. This is just a one-off, though. You're not, like, back for good, right? This is just because David Sears is out today or something? You hope not? You'd rather go back to your little room the end of the hall where...
I like my little cubby.
You do whatever the hell it is you do for jocks. I still haven't figured that out. Have you figured that out?
That's the whole point.
Oh, yeah. Just
kind of an enigma walking around.
Just look busy. Just that's the important thing.
Exactly.
Walk fast, carry a clipboard, look mad, you'll be good to go. 1218, Talk995, Talk995.com, Sentinel Firearms and SentinelFirearms.us, a good place to go shooting this weekend. If you are looking for an indoor place with great lanes, great folks, they just recently remodeled the lanes, which is very nice. They have a great showroom with lots of firearms for sale right now, including a lot of semi-auto handguns. They've got some ARs on the wall, a couple of shotguns as well, ammo for sale, accessories, gunsmithing, nicest people you could ever hope to meet. You know, unlike a lot of places, you can bring your target, you know, take it down and bring it out into the showroom area, the common area, and you can kind of go, look, I'm aiming over here and I'm hitting over here. What's the story? They'll give you a couple of pointers to straighten you out. You go try them, and, you know, now if you want, like, one-on-one classes, that's a different story entirely, but just a couple of pointers, and they're not going to charge you for that. That is Sentinel Firearms, SentinelFirearms.us. They are the proud sponsor of...
The big, stupid question of the day.
It's a perennial favorite around Halloween time. Write a horror story using just three words. Write a horror story using just three words. Now, you know, it's easy to go politics with this. President Kamala Harris. Yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah, fine. Put a little more imagination into it. Put some effort into it, huh? Try.
Friday, nobody wants to give effort.
Nobody wants to actually put effort in?
Yeah, we're just coasting right now. I'm not trying at all.
It's a, well, so that's pretty common. I mean, this is kind of, this is your usual.
Exactly.
I like it. You're upset because you didn't get to go to the little luncheon downstairs. That's what's going on here.
I didn't want to take a picture, so.
No, but I know how much you love free food.
I do love free food because we all know how well I'm compensated up here.
That's
right?
True. Yeah. Conrad immediately got into the radio concept. You know, if it's free, I'll take three. That is as it should be. 545-9950, 844-455-9950, the telephone number. Write a horror story using just three words and make it interesting and make it fun. And you can also go on social media, Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Dixon, facebook.com/Radio Dixon Show, and you can log your answer there. Speaking of, you know, today is Friday the 15th, you know, the day he
got. That's a scary day right
you
there.
You know, the day he got paid. I think that's the tagline to that movie. Friday the 15th, payday. But
that is a scary day for me.
I've been making an effort to watch one scary movie every day in October. I'm doing a terrible job of it, by the way. But I was about to say
every day, that's a...
I got 13 under my belt. I'm doing okay.
Oh, that's
I got 13.
Good. You only missed one day then, so
I don't feel too bad. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can squeeze one in tonight or tomorrow, but maybe I'll get two in on Sunday and then try to catch up next week. I saw one last night, and I'm trying to find stuff that I'm not. I mean, yeah, I watched the classics. I watched Halloween. I watched Halloween, the 2018 version. I watched Friday the 13th, you know, great film. But I'm also watching stuff that I've never seen before, stuff that would be interesting. And some of it's terrible.
Like newer stuff? Or
newer
is it all...
Yeah, no, literally newer stuff. I watched one called Funhouse. It's just awful. Don't waste your time with it. It's not a good... it's built around reality TV and, slaughtering teenagers and all the usual stuff. But there's nothing unique or different about it. It's a lot of gore, and it's not really very entertaining. But I sat through it because I was like, well, this is my scary movie of the day. So plus, you know, you got to have the bad ones so you can appreciate the good ones. And I watched a good one last night that I had never heard of before. It's from 2017 called The Babysitter.
I've seen that one.
I like that movie. It was fun. It was like, it was satanic worship. It was action.
Your favorite.
It was, I love that, of course. But action-packed, which was a lot more action than just gore, you know. But there was enough of that to sort of keep the interest going. So there's a sequel that was made a couple of years later. I guess I got to catch that one. So
I haven't seen the sequel. I've only seen the original. Yeah,
the Babysitter fine. Killer Queen or something. Queen of Death.
Yeah,
Queen
it's
of,
on I Netflix, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the great thing about Netflix. They also have... The Movies That Made Us is starting a new cycle, and any time that I can watch the backstory of how a movie got made, I'm riveted by that. I don't know why.
You like it more than the movie itself?
Many times I do, actually. Many times I'm more interested.
You're great at a party. Have you seen this movie? No, but do you know about all these intricate behind-the-scenes details?
You have pretty much just told the story of my life right there, because I do know all the behind-the-scenes intricate details of far too many films. And people are like, don't sit next to Dixon. He is going to tell you all about Halloween, and you don't really need to go there. True story. Let's go to the phones. We got Jeff in Pinson. Jeff, you're on Talk 99.5 looking for a horror story in three words. What do you got?
Haunted group home. Oh.
Okay, I understood none of that. I'm sure he...
Something was haunted, and then, ooh.
Okay.
Very scary.
Yeah. If you're going to do this, enunciate so we can understand what you're saying. That seems kind of important. If your goal is to be fun and funny, then you know we can't understand the jokes if you're not going to enunciate. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. We've got Debbie Schlissel coming up in a couple of minutes here. She, Debbie does politics.com, Debbie does movies.com, and she will... pick apart whatever is latest at the cinema nowadays.
The new Halloween movie that came out today.
That came out today. Halloween Kills, right?
Yeah.
And I got no Tim Melton here to tell me how it is. It's unfair.
I know.
Tom is in Anniston. Tom, write a horror story in three words. What do you got? Tommy.
Clinton's urinary infection.
Oh, that's,
and
yeah.
Ooh. The big mean witch goes, ah, yeah, that's Hillary is what. Later, man. Have a good one.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, Clinton urinary infection. He's was hospitalized for sepsis. A friend of mine who was hospitalized for sepsis said, whatever sins he has committed in his life, he's paying for them right now because it is really uncomfortable. All right, 12:25, first news time, then Debbie Schlissel. Stick around. It is a beautiful Friday on the verge of a beautiful weekend with cooler temps, more fall-like. We're literally weeks away from complaining about how cold we are. I mean, that's what we're looking at here. We're just weeks away
we're
from
one
being
week
like,
away, probably.
Damn, I wish it would warm up. I can't stand this. This is terrible. I like this weather a lot because the AC is not on most of the time, and my electric bill is like $8.
Well, I live in a cardboard box, so I don't have AC.
How's the Mrs. To Be taking that? She enjoy the cardboard box?
It's a big one. It's a two person.
God,
special ordered though. You know,
of course, yeah. Had to pick that up. One of those Sub Zero freezers, the big box that the Sub Zero comes in. My attorney is Chuck Davis. Chuck Davis Law, the guy that you need to talk to. ChuckDavisLaw.com 823-9992. No representation is made that the legal services provided are superior to legal services provided by their attorneys, but he is my attorney. He did a great will for me. He can do one for you at a price that I think you'll love. He's $99 simple wills. That's when all your stuff is just going to one person. And you think, well, what do I need
How
that for?
How sweet of you, Richard.
Wait. I'm not giving it to you. It is going to one person. It's going to Debbie Schlissel. No, you think, well, why do I need it? If I'm married to the person, why do I need that? Because if you die without a will, the state of Alabama sticks their ugly nose into your business. Also, you know, if you want to find out whether or not you have a case, you feel like you've been treated poorly, treated bad, you've been done wrong, but you're not sure whether or not it's wrong enough to sue, Chuck Davis is a great resource for this. You can make an appointment with him. You will meet with him, not one of his minions. Tell him your story. Initial consultation at no charge to you. And he'll be more than happy to tell you whether or not there's something there. Is there some there? That's what he does. ChuckDavisLaw.com, 823-9992, 823-9992, ChuckDavisLaw.com. He is my lawyer. He should be your lawyer. And here now is Debbie Schlissel. Debbie does politics.com. Debbie does movies.com. Hello, Debbie, and how are you today?
Doing great. Good morning or afternoon. I keep doing that.
Wherever it is, whatever it is. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. We don't, you know, different people listen to these podcasts at different times. There's no telling.
That's true.
Be catching somebody in the morning. You don't know. I just ran across this article like hours before coming to air, and I thought, oh, this is perfect. The White House Commission on Supreme Court Reforms has given a little heads up to the Biden administration. Hey, there might be some risk in expanding the Supreme Court. People might look at this as just a partisan maneuver. And then, you know, if Republicans take over the Senate, well, then you'll never get another judicial nominee passed through the Senate. And I'm thinking, you guys just figured that out?
I read that article also, and I think it also, they had problems with the confirmation process. That part kind of troubled me because welcome to democracy, American democracy. They needed a commission for that. We all know why Joe Biden convened this commission, which was for them to get a different conclusion, which was that he should pack the court. And I don't think he's going to listen to them one way or the other. He's going to do what he wants to do. And these partisans in his party that are running the show, I mean, he ran as the moderate candidate out of all these others running, but really the others running, the radicals, are running the show, and he's just a puppet there. They want to peg the court because they don't like that right now there's a 6-3 quote-unquote conservative majority, and you and I know that not all of those six people are reliably conservative all of the time or even half the time. But they don't even like that. They don't like democracy, and they're going to push him to do what they want. If he even lasts that long, I mean, I still believe that after 2 years and a day into office, Joe Biden is going to be out one way or the other, and Queen Kamala is going to take over so she can be the first woman president, and she'll be in there for 10 years, supposedly. I think Americans would not go for that cackle as an answer to everything. And I think they would vote for a Republican, depending on who the nominee is. But, I mean, it's just, I believe he's not going to listen to this commission. That is a meaningless waste of time body, just like nobody listened even to the 9/11 commission.
Yeah, or the commission on our debt and deficit. Remember, they had a plan for, right, you know, disposing of that and cutting things, and nobody wanted to listen to them. We know Joe Biden didn't listen to the generals when it came to Afghanistan, because both of them testified in Congress and said, no, we told him that we should leave some people there. And he was like, oh, everyone agreed with me. Again, he's being handled. Obviously, there are people behind him. He is, you know, there's people behind the curtain operating Joe Biden like the Wizard of Oz. And clearly they didn't listen to the generals, and clearly they're not going to listen to this commission. They're going to try to force through whatever it is they can, much in the same way they're trying to get this $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill through. And I think America has made it abundantly clear, we don't like this. We don't want this. Several Congress people have said, you're not going to get me to vote for this. You got two Democratic senators who are like, over my dead body, this is not going to pass. And he's coming on TV a little later today to try to push it again. At what point do you throw your hands up and say, all right, this isn't happening?
That's a good question. At what point? Because I would have thought he would have given up a while ago. And instead, we see his crazy minions, I mean, the radicals that run his party, accosting Kyrsten Sinema in the bathroom, accosting Joe Manchin on his houseboat. I didn't know he lived on a houseboat, by the way. Accosting these people that they want to vote for this. And you hear everybody yelling and screaming that they're really Republicans. And which, is Kyrsten Sinema really Republican? I don't think so.
No.
She's what used to be a moderate Democrat. And just because those are pretty much extinct and she's one of the few surviving specimens doesn't mean that she's a Republican. She isn't. She's just a person with common sense and decency who doesn't roll with the gang and thinks independently.
That, and she really just eked out a win over a significantly more conservative Republican who was running against her. And she's looking at this and saying, you know, if I vote for this thing, I'm a one-termer. You know, there's no way I get reelected. Because it was a tight race between her and I can't remember the name of the chick that was running.
Was it McSally or was
McSally? Martha McSally, exactly. It was a tough race between the two, and I think she's like, I'll do more good by staying here than I will by voting for this nonsense and then getting thrown out in 4 years. On another topic, we've got our director of transportation, Pete Buttigieg, today.
The guy on maternity leave.
Yeah, we get the news today that the guy's been on paid leave for 2 months. And, you know, here we've got airlines that are backed up and canceling flights left and right. We've got cargo ships off the coast of California. And this guy's nowhere to be found. Look, there are 55,000 employees in the Department of Transportation. If you were the CEO of a company that had 55,000 employees, could you take 2 months off?
No, not at all. I mean, that just doesn't happen. You would have to leave. The only time they ever let somebody take a leave of absence like that is if, God forbid, they get cancer or some other very grave illness, and then they don't come back usually. You know, it reminds me of Spencer Abraham, and this is not even as egregious of an example, but under George W. Bush, Spencer Abraham was the energy secretary. And that was at the time in 2003 when there was the blackout of a third of the United States lost their electricity. And he was in London. Most people don't know about this because the press didn't really get a hold of it, but he was in London on vacation in England with his family, his wife and his triplets, and he was demanded to come home by Dick Cheney and George W. Bush, and he said no, and he did not come back. And, I mean, this was an energy crisis in America, and he would not come back. But that was only for a few days. This is about America's economy for the year to come, at least, because You know, the longer you let all of those crates, and we've all seen them on the news in L.A., in the harbor there, the longer you let those sit, then it's going to pile up. And Joe Biden had supposedly had this meeting where he pressured them all to work 24/7 to unload these crates. That's not going to change anything. That's not he says it's going to be caught up by Christmas. Well, we're only right now, what's today's date, the 15th of October?
Yeah.
People need their gifts now. People need their supplies and their food. People need things to chips for cars. People need wares to sell on their shelves, or they're going to go out of business after having been out of business basically for a year and a half. So it's not going to happen. And when you have an energy secretary that has really no reason to take off, you know what, he and his husband, whatever, I think his name is Chasen, they adopted a kid, I think,
two,
right?
Am two
I right?
Kids. They actually adopted two.
Like
they adopted two babies. You know, there are some people out there can't even adopt one, but somehow Pete Buttigieg and his husband got two of them, two for the price of one.
Right.
Seems unfair somehow.
And, I mean, what are they trying to do, learn how to pump their breasts for milk? I don't understand it, number one. But number two, you know, everyone's always saying, oh, it's sexist against women, that they ask why can't women work or why do they need maternity leave. Well, we're not sexist. I mean, last time I checked, Pete Buttigieg is a man. And I believe in the free market. If you, like a lot of people are saying, oh, look, he got maternity leave. They don't, a lot of people, these liberals in the media, they don't even think it's a problem that we're having this crisis with all of these containers just sitting there, and shelves going bare across America the way they were at the beginning of the pandemic. Instead, they're ignoring that because Joe Biden's president, and we can't make him look bad, and we can't make the first gay Secretary of Transportation look bad. So instead, they're saying, look how lucky he is. He has maternity leave, and the average woman doesn't have it, and we should have it nationally. When instead, they should be saying, nobody should have mandated maternity leave, especially people who are on the taxpayer's dime. They should not get it before everybody else. This should be a matter of the free market. If you want maternity leave, or in his case, paternity leave, then you should go to a company, go work for a company. There, right now, it's an employee's market. There are so many open jobs. I'm sure you could find a company that's going to give you paternity or maternity leave. And it shouldn't be mandated, because all it's going to do is put small businesses out of business at a time when they're struggling to even stay in business. And then this guy does this, and I just think he's a poor example for everybody. And you know who else is a poor example? His boss, Joe Biden, because this is another thing that never gets reported. Every time Donald Trump went to Mar-a-Lago, or he went to the golf club in Bedford, whatever, New Jersey, they reported on it, and they made it look like he's not working, even though he was working from there. But Joe and Jill Biden, every weekend, they go back to Delaware, and they take a vacation every single weekend. They are not working. Joe Biden is not working. He's on the beach in Delaware doing nothing, and it's never reported by anybody, or very few.
Of course not.
Not much is made of it.
No, I mean, Joe doesn't need any help in being made to look bad. So hold on, if you would, please, Debbie. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back and do the Debbie Does Movies portion of this. So stick around. Did you hear that, Conrad? We're getting all the hard-hitting news. What cheese is the most popular in France? Can't wait till we rip the lid off that controversy.
I mean, I'm hooked.
I can't turn away.
Isn't it like National Cheese Curd Day, too, or something
Is
like
today
that?
National Cheese Curd Day?
I think I saw something about that.
Well, of course, my family celebrates National Cheese Curd Eve, so we, you know, I...
You got it out of the way last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Night,
well,
so
well, that's when we open our curds at my house. It's 12:51. Debbie Schlissel is with us. DebbieDoesPolitics.com, DebbieDoesMovies.com. I understand the new Halloween Kills movie is out today. Have we seen it, Debbie?
I did see it. I like a good horror movie, you know that. And I actually liked the first one with Jamie Lee Curtis, and this one also stars her. I like the first one better. This takes place like that same night it kind of picks up where the last one left off.
Oh.
And I liked the last one because it was funny, and Jamie Lee Curtis is afraid of Jason, and she's got guns, and she's got a daughter and a son-in-law who are big liberals, and they're for gun control, and they don't agree with her on much, but then they come to find out that she's right, and they do come to embrace the guns. Well, so this picks up where they left off. They had burned their house down thinking they trapped Jason. And of
or
course,
Michael.
Jason,
Michael is another guy that could be involved.
Or
in
I'm
this.
Sorry, yeah. You know, you're
confusing
right.
Friday the 13th with
you're
Halloween,
right.
but it's
I'm
an easy
sorry.
Thing to
you're
do.
You're right.
That's okay.
It's so hard. It's so hard to tell them apart. You're right. Michael Myers. Forgive me. All right, Michael Myers. So they burn down their house. Michael Myers is trapped in the basement, or so they think. They think he's dead, but of course not, because then they couldn't make more movies. So they think he's dead. Jamie Lee Curtis is in the hospital, but in fact, Michael Myers is on a spree. He's escaped from the house, and he's killed more people. And he keeps killing people. And basically, the whole point of this movie, I think, is to gross us out and make it even more gross than previous Michael Myers murders. And there's no payoff. That's the thing. I like a good horror movie where at the end, there's a payoff. The bad guy gets it. And, you know, I don't think I'm spoiling things when I say there's no payoff in this movie. Now, the best part of the movie, which I was really surprised they did, was there's a gay couple who lives in Michael Myers' house now. And they have redone the house. You know, they're fabulous with interior decorating. And they have the best china and everything. And they're called Little John and Big John. And, of course, Big John is the little guy, and Little John is the big guy. And I'm really surprised that they made a movie with this, but the movie was written and produced by Danny McBride. And that's the other problem with this. Danny McBride is not really very talented, and he's good at making fun of gay people doing that, like little scenes like that. He's not good, and he's going to be called homophobic, I think, even though a lot of this stuff hits the mark. But he's just not good at writing a script. And by the way, who are the stars of this movie in addition to Jamie Lee Curtis and some of the others from the last movie? There is Anthony Michael Hall, who, oh my God, what the hell happened to this guy? He looks terrible. I don't want to see childhood stars grow up because sometimes the results are not nice.
Oh yeah, and then Mason Reese is belongs in an aquarium somewhere, I can tell you that. Okay, so
right,
I got
Kyle Richards.
Got to leave it there. We're out of time, unfortunately, but we'll catch up with the rest of this. You're advising a no-go on Halloween Kills. Do I have that right?
I didn't like it, but even worse is the last duel with Ben Affleck and Rumpelstiltskin looking Matt Damon.
Oh, you could have stopped. You could have stopped after Ben Affleck. That's all I needed to hear. thank you, Debbie. A pleasure as always. We'll do it again next Friday. Have a great week.
You too.
All right, take care. Debbie Slissel, DebbieDoesPolitics.com, DebbieDoesMovies.com. We do First News right now.